Well, the Lord ought to be first, and we ought to thank Him. Amen. Two great songs tonight. I enjoyed hearing her little daughter over there singing with her. Amen. All right, if you wouldn't, your Bibles, turn to John chapter 3. We're going to start a new series of messages tonight on Wednesday night, and this will probably be 12 weeks. And this will simply, I don't know that I have a title for it yet. Maybe by next Wednesday we'll have one. But just on growing together, our second emphasis in our purpose as a church. And just talking about growing, and some of this will be elementary to some of you. I understand that, especially maybe this first lesson. But there'll be some practical things here for you as well. But I believe as we go along, there'll be some things to help you as you grow in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it's about. You know, it's about growing in Him. About our goal as Christians is to press toward the mark, as Paul said, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that goal is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to be like Him. And in every aspect of our lives ought to be revolve around being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And of course tonight we know that that starts with a new birth. And again, I know tonight maybe some of this will be a little elementary to some, but there's some in here who need to hear this as well. And so we think about, again, being born again. Look at John chapter 3, verse 7. Of course, we know that this is a conversation with Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. And came verse 2. Let's look at verse 2. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, And verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7, Marvel not, that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. So Jesus says to Nicodemus, hey, you're going to have two births here. There's a physical birth and there's a spiritual birth. And you must be born again. You must have the second birth. All of us have a birthday, a physical birthday. Mine's March 4th. And every year it rolls around. And all of us get a little older every year. And March 4th, 1974, I was born in Bowie, Texas, one of the greatest cities in the entire world. And I always remind the teenagers when we're traveling past there on the ski trip or the youth camp, I'll get on the walkie-talkie and say to all the kids, hey, we're going past the greatest city in the world, the big town of Bowie, Texas. And so I was born in Bowie there, 9 pounds, 14 ounces. Woohoo! That's why I'm so big now, you know, just following the trend. And I was born spiritually, March 12th, 1980, at the age of 6 years old. It's, many of you have heard many, many times in my pastor's office, kneeling beside there in his couch. And my pastor led me to the Lord, along with my dad. And I'll never forget, again, going down that old country road with my dad as he worked in the oil field and saying to my dad that Saturday morning, Dad, I want to get saved. I don't want to go to hell. And him calling the pastor, saying, can we meet you up at the church? And met him up at the church. Dad wanted to be very careful with his kids because he was so involved and so, anyway, wanted to be very careful with those kids, make sure we really get it. So, took me to the pastor's office and I got saved. I got born again. And physical birth, spiritual birth. And that's what Jesus Christ is referring to here with Nicodemus. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. Bless the reading of your word tonight. God, we do pray that you would be with the listener, that the hearts would be open tonight. We understand and know that I can only teach, but you give understanding. I pray tonight that understanding would be there in each person. Hide me behind the cross. We need you tonight more than ever. We do pray tonight, especially for Brother Herb, Lord, that you be with him and strengthen him tonight. Be at the doctor's tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. The only way to possess eternal life, spiritual life, is by way of a new birth. And just as we had a physical birth, we must have a spiritual birth. You know, a lot of times we don't think about that great old hymn we like to sing a lot. And I know Brother Tim likes the song, and so do I. You know, oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy I'm telling, He made all the darkness depart. We don't think about the second verse though. Listen to this. Think about again our subject tonight being born again. It says, born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine. Justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made when as a sinner I came. Took of the offer of grace He did offer. Proffer He saved me. Oh, praise His dear name. What great words. I'm going to read them. Born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine. Hallelujah. Right? Justified. We went over that Sunday morning. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. My sin record erased. Christ's sinless record put in His place. Justified fully through what? Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. And I'm glad again, my standing before God is perfect. Because God sees the righteous record of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God looks at Eric Crawford, He doesn't see my sinful record. It's been erased. It's been forgiven. And Christ's 33 and a half years of sinlessness has been put in His place. And that's what God sees when He sees me. Because why? I am in Christ. Man, we preached on Ephesians for 2 years around here on Sunday night. And that's what, I mean, oh, Paul just hammers it in the book of Ephesians that we as born again children of God are in Christ and we are standing in Him and we are surrounded by Him. And therefore, because we are in Him, God sees that righteous record of Jesus Christ. Justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. My state is different. That's one of the things we're going to cover here on Wednesday night. We're really going to go into it in depth. And I really believe in your Christian life, once you kind of understand the difference between the two, you will never doubt your salvation. Because salvation is not based upon what you do, it's based upon what Christ did for you. And I know you know that. We know that. But it's so much more. It's so much more. It's amazing. Justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made. I'm glad salvation isn't a process. It is instantaneous. Sanctification is a process. Our growing together, our growing in Christ is a process. But salvation is instantaneous. It happens just like that when we accept Him as Savior. When as a sinner I came. And let me again emphasize to you tonight that a person must understand they're a sinner before they can get saved. We have people getting saved today who don't understand that, or don't have an inkling that I'm lost. Before they can get found, they got to get lost. We need to make sure when we're dealing with children or we're dealing with an adult that they absolutely understand that they have why they have a need to be saved. Right? Man, just don't do 1, 2, 3, pray after me. Make sure they understand. And I always like using that why, who, and how. A lot of y'all deal with the kids during Sunday school and children's church. A lot of kids can repeat the Romans Road. They've learned it since they were, you know, in Miss Reed's class. From that class and children's church on up, they've learned it. And so a lot of times when you as a parent ask me to deal with your child, I'll say to them, why do you need to be saved? I throw them off instead of going through the Romans Road. Who supplies salvation? How do you get it? And ask those questions. Make sure they understand why they need to be saved. By the way, why we need to be saved is not so we can go to heaven. Why we need to be saved is because we are sinners. When as a sinner I came, took of the offer, and I'm glad He offered it, of grace He did proffer, I profited, and saved me, oh praise His dear name. I'm so glad I'm saved. And He saved me. Born again. Spiritual birth involves two parents. And we've gone over this in the past. And basically we see from the Word of God that our spiritual birth involved the Holy Spirit. Absolutely involved the Holy Spirit. John 3 verse 5 says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the what? Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. When we believe, when we repent, we're immediately born again into God's family. We have everlasting life. Can I tell you everlasting is everlasting? You know, it's not next week when I fall from grace. No, it's everlasting. Everlasting. John 3 verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Salvation is instantaneous. Salvation is by way of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and abides in us, and salvation, again, is everlasting. And the Holy Spirit imparts life to us because He is the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. Let me read that again. Romans 8, 2 says that He, the Holy Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that He is the Spirit of life. I'm alive spiritually today because the Holy Spirit lives in me. He abides in me. I'm so glad I am a child of God, and I'm so glad that He is there for me. Ministering to me. Giving grace to me. And though we do not worship the Holy Spirit, we worship Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit absolutely is part of the triunity of God, and we understand that. And I said it that way just because there was a couple of books that came out years ago whose emphasis was entirely on the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ should be lifted up above everything else? But understanding the Holy Spirit has His part. And the Holy Spirit lives and abides in us. He said, I will send you another comforter. I will send you another comforter, one who will be called alongside of you to help you and to encourage you and to strengthen you. The reason why I can talk to somebody in the elevator about Jesus, my wife loves it when I did it the other night too. I can, tell somebody or hand somebody a tract. It's not because I have any courage, it's because the Holy Spirit gives me the courage to do it. Right? Amen. I'm glad the Holy Spirit's there to encourage me and strengthen me to have the courage to hand somebody a tract or to witness to somebody that I normally would not do that with. The Holy Spirit is there as part of our spiritual birth. And we understand this too. Secondly, that the Word of God is absolutely there as a part of that new birth. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 reads, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I'm glad today the Word of God liveth. This is a living book. It's alive and well. It's the only book that is alive. It's powerful. It's dynamite. It's dynamic. It's dramatic. What a wonderful treasure we have. It's alive. And as we read it, it plants within us a seed that springs forth life. Everyone with me? I'm glad today we're not born of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And listen to me. Can I chase a rabbit for just a second? I'm a King James Bible man by conviction, absolutely. I believe the King James Bible, I believe the King James Version to be the inspired Word of God in the English language. Hallelujah. It's a stance our church takes as well. We use the King James Version of the Bible. But this particular verse talks about the incorruptible seed and the corruptible seed. And some independent Baptists have taken this to the extreme and say things like this. Can I say this without? They'll say things like, if you're not using a King James Bible when you lead somebody to the Lord, that person doesn't get saved because that was corruptible seed. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That is stupidity. Hang on. Brother Mosley, I got it. That's stupid. And the guys who put that out are idiots. And there's one particular writer I'm addressing, but we won't name any names. Peter Ruttman. I'm here to protect and say to you guys, when you read certain guys who say they're independent Baptists, be very careful. Very easy to dispel this. When Paul was talking before the Sanhedrin, or Paul was talking before the Roman government or wherever he was speaking, what did he do? He gave his testimony. We say all the time from this pulpit, if you can't remember, if you can remember four words of a Bible scripture, and all of us can do that, if you can relate the story of your conversion to someone, I believe absolutely somebody gets saved from that. Amen. You don't have to be a scholar or know 10 Bible verses to lead somebody to the Lord. And I'm telling you, if all you've got is the NIV Bible, I have gone into houses without and forgot my New Testament. And I've said to them, and as I saw that things were going well, I said, hey, do you have a Bible here in the house? And I'd like to read to you a couple of scripture. And they go grab one. Of course, it's NIV or ASV or the latest Cadillac version, you know. I don't know. New versions coming out all the time. Y'all see the newest version out now? That the NIV now has taken the he, the masculine, out of majority of the verses and has neutralized or the masculinity in the Bible. The new NIV just came out like 2 or 3 weeks ago. That's crazy. Does everybody understand here that angels are males? And though they're not males like we are, but they're he's. Do everybody understand that God is a he? Everybody understands that the Holy Spirit's a he? Everybody understands Jesus was a he? Okay. When the Bible says man a lot, does that mean Brother Watson as a man? Not all the time. A lot of times it means mankind. It's very easy to understand. Man, I have a buoy education and I can understand that. Man, I chased a rabbit and I just kept following it, didn't I, Brother Hinkle? You know? My preachers used to do it all the time when I was growing up. They'd see a rabbit going and they start shooting at it. My dad will testify to this. We had a pastor for a while that we were both under. I was a kid. And I'm telling you, his sermons, they had nothing like I do. He just got up and started doing what I'm just doing here. He just maybe talk on 10 different subjects at a time. Anyway. But when these guys refer to the corruptible seed or the incorruptible, if they got an NIV, and I've had it done where they brought me an NIV Bible and I've read Romans chapter 10 to them and I've read Romans 5:8 to them, I've read Romans 3:10 and 6:23, and absolutely someone can be led to the Lord through those. And so we be careful about taking those to the extreme, right? You might as well say amen. It's okay. I just want to point that out because that has become a hotbed issue some in this last couple of years. Maybe you don't know about it, but I do. So, think about that being born again, that the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. The Word of God is alive. As we read it, it brings life. Isn't that amazing that a book can bring life? Words from a book can bring life. Isn't it amazing that you can be in a service like Sunday and someone can preach or sing the Word of God, the truth from the Word of God, and it brings about change in us? That's because it's a book that's alive. We think about James chapter 1 verse 8 says, of His own will beget He us with the Word of truth. Let me read that again. James 1:18 says, of His own will beget He us with the Word of truth. Beget He us with the Word of truth. The Word of God absolutely plays an instrumental role in us being born again. Born again. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to impart life to the believing sinner who turns to Jesus Christ for salvation. Again, we read a moment ago, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not, the wrath of God abideth on him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. We can go through all these verses again, but it's the Holy Spirit, it's the Word of God by which we are born again, by believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must possess the life of God, or we have never been born again. Our lives, there in Galatians 2:20 says, Christ liveth in me. Can I remind you again tonight that you can't pull yourself up? Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us. Salvation is in no way, or in no part, do we have any part in bringing ourselves up to the Lord, or lifting ourselves up to Him. He has to reach down to us. I love that old song, He came to me. Jesus reached down to us, John 3:13. Life is the major theme of John's Gospel. He just continues at least 36 times in the Gospel of John. He talks about life. Life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, cometh to the Father, but by me. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. All three having a part, if you would, in the area of being born again. Being born again. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 speaks about the new nature, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these he might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That what? We might be partakers of the divine nature. When you are born again, when you accept Christ as your Savior, when you see yourself as a sinner, and you trust in Him and Him alone as your only means of salvation in order to escape the wrath of God, which is hell, when you, at that very moment, you accept Him as Savior, you are born again. You are transferred from death to life, the Bible says. Right? Amen. 1 Peter says that we become a partaker of the divine nature. Corinthians says, we are a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. We become a new creature in Christ. We become a part, a partaker of the divine nature. We receive a new nature. I'm glad today that I have a new want to. The things I used to do, I don't want to do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. A little song the kids sing. Been born again from life from above. Into God's family, divine. Nature determines appetite. It's been a while since we shared this one. I like this one. Cats eat what? Say it. I mean, I know they eat cat food, but what, you know, if they didn't have cat food, what would they really be eating? Right? When we were living in the trailer years ago out at the Indicator, the trailer that used to be on this property about where this building sits. And we moved it up to Decatur and lived on that 10 acres up there. And we had a few mice in our little house. Some of you ladies will remember. In fact, we got to where we named them. And so we got us a cat because we couldn't keep the mice out. We got us a cat. And that cat was the greatest little cat. Man, she'd grab those mice at night and put them right at the front door. Kill them and put them right at the front door. So every morning you woke up, you had, you know, a couple of mice sitting at the front door just ready to be thrown outside. She said, here you go, like little presents. Cats eat mice. Cats eat mice. Bears eat fish for salmon. Pigs enjoy mud. Again, nature determines the appetite. You know, it's in their nature. Cats eat mice. It's in their nature. And if I profess to be a Christian, you would expect me to have the appetite for the things of God. Boy, this is where we really get into some, where the rubber meets the, you know, where the tires meet the pavement, rubber meets the road. Nature determines our environment. Fish live in, right? Birds do what? Fly. I'll say it again. Pigs enjoy mud. The lost, those who are lost, those who are in darkness, enjoy the world. While Christians keep themselves unspotted from the world. Ephesians 2:2. Lost people love darkness. God's people walk in light. Why? Because God's in light. Again, our nature determines our appetite. This is a good way to determine whether or not you are really born again. A good way to determine whether or not you really know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior is determined by your appetite. What do you enjoy? Hello? You know, a cat eats mice. Pigs enjoy mud. A person who enjoys being around the world and all of its stuff, whether it's bars or I can go on and, worldly stuff. What do you like? Nature determines our associations. Zebras don't run with lions. Birds don't get around cats. But cattle, they herd together. Sheep flock, sand bass school. Inside joke for fishermen. Christians fellowship and run with Christians. Boy, didn't you have a great time Sunday? Wasn't that awesome? And you know what? We could have that every Sunday. Now, I don't know about all the food. We'd all be like 100 pounds overweight. But just great. The fellowship and the nature determines our associations. If you're a child of God and you're born again, we are going to be attracted as brothers and sisters. We're going to be attracted to each other. Absolutely. We are salt. We are light. It is or ought to be, the nature of God's people to meet together for fellowship and encouragement. Nature determines danger. Water is safe for fish, but a person can drown. What's safe for others may be harmful to us. Just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean we should. Nature determines our abilities. I can't run 70 miles an hour like a cheetah. I can't run 5 miles an hour like whatever. I can't live underwater like a whale. But God's nature has given me something special. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Again, my new nature determines my ability. And my ability in by way of the Holy Spirit is not determined by myself physically, but it's determined by the one who lives in me. Isn't that good? I don't have to rely upon myself and my own abilities. I got the Holy Spirit living in me. And through Him, I can do anything. Anything. Our future. I'm glad today our birth involves a great, wonderful future. You know, a baby that's born in the world, all he has to look forward to, all she has to look forward to is the future. And when we're born again, that's what we have to look forward to, the future. Our sins are forgiven, our past is forgiven. We get to go forward, look forward to the future. Christians live in future tense. Future tense. All right. We'll wrap this up. The final birth. The final birth. Birth is final. Everybody got that? All right? Physical birth. A baby is not born with parts missing if they're a healthy baby. It doesn't return to the hospital to have body parts completed. Hello? We're getting real, real deep right now. A baby is born with everything it needs to grow up and become an adult. Mature. But a baby has to grow. But it has everything within it to do that. It doesn't have to go back and get more parts. And we've said this many, many times. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were given everything you need to accomplish God's goal for your life. Every tool that you need, every ability that you need has been given to you already. No matter if you've been saved 2 days or you've been saved 30 years, you have everything within you by way of the Holy Spirit to mature and grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. To achieve that goal, to attain the goal, as Christians, we have to rely upon the Holy Spirit. Everything we need to mature as Christians becomes ours the instant we're saved. And the word there is we are complete. The Bible uses the word perfect. The word perfect means complete. We are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." There is not a quick fix. Maturing takes time, just as a baby grows. For instance, you think about individuals, whether your children or whomever, maybe somebody, different various people at work. Would you not agree that various people are at different stages in their life? You know, everybody is. I'll meet with young couples in my office or some older couples and meet with them about their marriage, and I'll say to them sometimes, "Hey, you're coming to a different level in your life. And some of the things you used to do, you're not going to be able to do those things anymore. You've got kids now. You've got responsibility now." These, you know, and I said, you're at a different stage in your life. And what happens is they either have to get over that hurdle in their life and move on, or they will really, in marriage especially, they'll back up and go the opposite direction. Everybody with me? You basically don't ever stand still. I mean, you're either going forward or backward. And so, as Christians, again, we are growing and maturing, but we're all growing and maturing at different levels. That's why when me and Brother Stone are preaching that series of messages on Sunday nights, which we're going to get back to, on the principles, precepts, convictions, and standards, that we should never look down at somebody else who doesn't have the same standards we have, right? Everybody's at different levels when it comes to their Christian walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Just as babies are born and they grow in various manners. I mean... Let me use my youngest son as an example. Brody, Brother Wiggins' son, is 6 years old. And Brother Wiggins is like this tall. You know what I'm saying? All right, my youngest son, Micah, is 9 years old. Anybody notice that Sunday? Brody is as tall as Micah. 6 and 9, the same height. We're still trying to figure out what, we gotta feed Micah some more Wheaties or something. But I was also very small like Micah when I was a kid. Just following the same growth pattern. But you know, age doesn't matter there. The maturing process is different with each child, with each kid. Some kids mature quicker than others. Some depending on their environment, but some of that's depending on their personality too. We're not giving them an excuse, but everybody understands that, right? Everybody with me? As Christians, we all grow. We need to grow. Our process of growth. And understanding that's not going to happen overnight, that we are continually being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. He's still working on me. We're on that GMC, General Motor, you know, conveyor belt being put together. Going through the process. Amen. Everything we need to become mature Christians is ours at the instant we get saved. But we all have differing abilities. But God's goal for each of us is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. To be like Christ is our goal. To be like Christ is our goal. Over the next few weeks on Wednesday night, we're going to talk about that. Christ is our goal. How does that process take? And how can we grow as Christians? I love that illustration. And some of this is from Warren Wiersbe, who is a good writer. And he makes the illustration that, you know, cats like mice. It's natural to them. Can I tell you tonight, Christians will like Christians? The appetites are the same. Right? And tonight, I hope your appetite is where it should be. You should have an appetite for the Word of God. You should have an appetite for the things of God tonight. Appetite for the good godly music we've heard tonight. Right? All of us growing in the Lord. Let's all